This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Creative Impact. It is our ongoing feature that takes a look at arts and creative industries in Washtenaw County, and through the lens of artists, creative workers, and businesses that help shape our quality of life, place, and local economy. Now, WEMU's Creative Impact content partner is the Arts Alliance, and its president and CEO is Deb Pollack. She, of course, is my co-host, and she will be my exclusive guest today. Thank you so much for the time, Deb.
Well, as always, David, it's a pleasure to be with you. Hey, did I ever tell you that at a rather young age, I contracted a heavy case of philology and then soon afterwards etymology?
And I assume your mom put you in quarantine.
These are not diseases, David. From Greek, philology means the love of language,
okay, which
obviously I can't speak. And etymology, which is the study of sources and development of words.
So you're one of those people, you hear a word or a phrase, and you wonder why we say it or what it means, you immediately run to the dictionary and thesaurus.
Absolutely. Look it up. It's so much easier now with Google, right?
Right.
But as I've been preparing for this, state of the arts and creative industries during the time of COVID edition of Creative Impact, the phrase, may you live in interesting times, keeps running through my head.
Sounds almost Shakespearean or Dickensian.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So I found out otherwise. It was actually first referenced in a 1936 letter exchange between a Mr. Coderre and Sir Austen Chamberlain, who was the brother of the Prime Minister of England at the time, John Chamberlain. And Mr. Coderre commented in a letter that we were living in an interesting age. And Lord Chamberlain replied that a diplomat once told him that a Chinese curse heaped upon an enemy was, may you live in interesting times. That actually didn't prove out to be true, but it did start the use of that phrase in more commonly. And scholars really have never found that this comes directly from the Chinese, another attribution that is incorrect.
Right.
But the closest they've found is that there is a Chinese proverb that says it's better to be a dog in peaceful time than to be a man in a chaotic period.
Strange you bring that up. I have frequently thought I'd rather be a dog these days.
Well, curse or no curse, we are living in an interesting time.
Indeed, we are. And that kind of brings us to the current state of the arts and creative industries now that we're 6-7 months into the pandemic.
Yeah, well, to quote another phrase from Paul Cézanne, we live in a rainbow of chaos. You know, the Arts Alliance tracks a number of national surveys, including the Americans for the Arts, on what's happening in the arts and creative industry. And here's some statistics from October 5th, their latest report. Financial losses to the nonprofit arts and cultural sector are estimated at $13.9 billion to date.
Yeah, and running.
Right. And due to canceled events and a loss of more than 467 million admissions, $14 billion in audience spending at local businesses has not made its way into the economy. So that's a huge impact. And there's also losses, $4.8 billion in government revenue, and about 833,000 jobs that are not being supported outside of the arts and cultural industry. So those are jobs that, because of that spending, that should usually be happening are supported.
You know, those are numbers that are just difficult to absorb. It's almost beyond what we can imagine. So I assume that, in fact, we know that there are other industries that have been hit hard by COVID-19 as well. So how does the hit to arts and creative sector compare?
Well, I did some research, surprise. There are four that a recent NASDAQ article dated September 1st lists as the industries hit the hardest by COVID, and that's leisure and hospitality, food service, construction, and retail. The arts and creative industries, which you know contributes 4.5%, didn't even hit the list. 4.5% to GDP, I should say.
That's more than agriculture and the combination of construction, transportation, and warehousing. Obviously, you've taught me well over the years.
I'm glad that's sinking in. The leisure and hospitality workers, which had the highest hit among workers, was 69% having faced a loss of income, furlough, or work closure. In comparison, 95% of artists and creative workers have faced the same, and the percentage is even higher and more devastating for artists of colors.
So is there any good news for you to share?
Well, good news, maybe mixed news.
All right, let's get to that in a second. I do want to remind folks you're listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU with Deb Pollock of the Arts Alliance. We're talking about the state of the arts and creative industries during the time of COVID-19. So what is that mixed news?
Well, for the first time, as you know, in 7 months, film theaters and cultural venues have been given the green light to open as of October 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been following that a lot with the Michigan and State Theaters. But bottom line, it's a complicated calculus for a venue to decide whether to open or not.
How so?
Well, there are at least 4 points to consider and many more. But the number one, of course, is health and safety of the audience, the talent, and the personnel. And then secondly, can a venue afford to open at 20% of fixed seating?
Venues are restricted to 20%, so strictly based on the number of seats, the Purple Rose Theater could only serve 33 people, if the math is correct, and the Arc about 80?
That's correct, and can just imagine what the price of tickets would have to be to cover the cost of producing a player booking in an artist to play for such a small audience.
So that brings up a third consideration. What is that?
Yeah, so how quickly will programs and artists be ready to promote and present? You know, so some venues, like a film house, can get product pretty quickly on the screen, but it takes a considerable amount of time to mount a theater production or book in artists, and we're hearing that artists don't even really want to travel or to perform.
Understandable. What is the fourth consideration then?
Well, that's audience readiness. You'll remember that we had Alan Brown on the show. He's an expert on cultural audiences. He was with us earlier this year.
Yeah, he provided a pretty dim view of audiences returning.
Right. And so that audience, his audience outlook monitor continues to track audiences' preferences about what they will and what they won't do. And in his most recent report for southeastern Michigan, it's kind of confusing because 19% to 25% said that they'd be ready to go out as soon as legally allowed to get into a venue. And then on the other hand, there's another 22% to 29% that are going to wait for a vaccine before going out.
And we're seeing that play out in real time. But it all remains rather inconclusive.
Exactly. And so what we're working off of is that 25 to 30% of the audience might be willing to go to a cultural venue.
Are you?
The question is really how many are going to do that.
Are you willing to go?
Well, I will because I trust the Michigan Theater, obviously, and I know that they are doing absolutely everything to make it all safe. So in that case, I will. But I, like everything else that I do outside of the house these days, I want to make sure that I know who's running an operation and who's taking care of it so that I can trust it.
Well, you know, you mentioned it earlier, but we are most certainly living in interesting times.
Absolutely. And no matter the industry, we're all in this position of doing the best we can and adapting to every single new development.
Well, we'll do our best to keep WEMU listeners informed here on Creative Impact about the arts and creative industries.
Absolutely, that we will. And so thanks for letting us keep this up. And hey, everybody, remember to get out there and vote.
That is one reason to get out for sure. Thank you so much, Deb. I do appreciate it. I will look forward to our next conversation.
Absolutely. Me too.
That is Deb Pollock. She is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and my co-host for Creative Impact. And with an update, as we are now 7 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, you are listening to 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti. To find out more information on today's topic and to access the archive of Creative Impact shows, visit our website at WEMU.org. Once again, I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.